5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at you.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Well, hello, America and beyond. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell Radio Program, your source for common sense conservative values. 15 hours of broadcasting excellence every single week, and by golly, we will not disappoint. The case, alleged case, against President Trump crumbles before Alvin Bragg's crying eyes. Oh, what a shame. The letter that torches all of the ridiculosity about that case. We're going to talk about that. Of course, we will be live with Carrie Lake. She just got bombshell news from the Arizona Supreme Court hours ago. We're going to let her drop it on you here shortly. And ladies and gentlemen, of course, don't be mistaken. We're still all over these Senate hearings, right? As the CEO of Moderna tried to spin his way out of becoming a billionaire multiple times over, my friends, multiple times over, all on your dime and on your backs. And there are a few senators who called him out on it, ladies and gentlemen. The audio sound bites, I know you didn't watch C-SPAN to hear. We've got it all for you after this. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. You know, that indivisible word that we kind of tuck in there in the pledge every day is kind of front and center in everything we're going to be talking about today. It just clicked with me as I said it. Indivisible. Did you know that according to the Constitution, your First Amendment right to free speech is also considered indivisible, and it's specifically a protection of speech that others might find controversial or offensive, even if they're crybaby leftists who need support llamas and crayons and comfort rooms, et cetera, et cetera. Your speech, no matter how offensive it is in fact protected. And I will tell you, there is no more danger, no bigger danger, I should say, in these United States right now than the ever-pressing movement to silence those of us who tell the truth. Because truth is an inconvenient thing, isn't it? When you lie and you cheat and you steal and you disrupt and you conflate facts and you point fingers and you deflect and you try to present a narrative that people who are awake, aware, alive, and intellectually honest, no, is nothing more than BS. This particular monologue has me a little fired up today because what's going on our college campuses, ladies and gentlemen, and this, I take particular umbrage with this because two of my sons happen to be in college right now, as you well know. What's happening on these college campuses is indicative of this virus that has infiltrated far too many areas in these great United States. This idea of diversity, equity, inclusion, which is nothing more than think the way we think, believe exactly what we believe, walk in line as a hypnotized clone trooper, or we will get in your face and make your life miserable and run you out of town. And it's come down to the chancellors, to the very management, if you will, of these education, higher education institutions, to figure out where they stand vis-a-vis the woke, triggered, noxious leftists, and those of us who, by and large, just want to be left alone and not be suffocated by this new alternate reality that is nothing more than insane. May we just agree on one thing. A man cannot be a woman and a woman cannot be a man. And if we can agree on that, because it's the truth, everything else we're going to talk about today is just sheer and utter pandemonium. University of Pittsburgh is in my crosshairs today, and it's not because it happens to be just about 5 miles from where I am broadcasting right now. The University of Pittsburgh now has a state representative threatening taxpayer funding, federal money, our money, money we didn't decide to spend, but our legislators, I should say, do on our behalf, allegedly. This particular noxious, toxic individual, her name is Latasha Mays, said yesterday to this funding debate about where our money goes, that if the University of Pittsburgh does not kibosh the upcoming speech of three people that she finds offensive, then she will have to vote to withhold taxpayer money to the university. Well, first of all, Latasha, whomever you are, that's called bribery. That's called quid pro quo. That's called disgusting. And what is she so worried about? Well, Ms. Mays, who is a gay black activist, my, we seem to have a lot of those people around, is very upset that Michael Knowles, who is a podcaster and a host at the Daily Wire, a gentleman by the name of Cabot Phillips, who is a senior editor at the Daily Wire, and a young lady named Riley Gaines, who was a swimmer at the University of Kentucky, damn good one too, are coming to campus to have a realistic conversation about Crazy Town, USA. And it's a debate with another panel with a transgender individual. It is a conversation. Should men who want to be women compete against women? And can we finally come to the conclusion that this is just an endless cycle of madness, that we are hamsters on a wheel, we're on a treadmill that we never wanted to get onto, and that we are done? So the chancellor of the University of Pittsburgh is finding himself an intriguing pickle. Because the ACLU, by the way, defines free speech as something that ought to be protected, particularly when it is controversial, when some people find it offensive. In fact, it's in all of their writings, the ACLU. So this chancellor has to determine, do I allow these three individuals who share a perspective, a common sense, rational perspective that the lion's share, I would say, of America supports, that men are not women and women are not men? Or does this individual kowtow to the demands of a liberal activist who is in government now, who's literally bribing him and saying, I will not vote for this funding for your university unless you kibosh these three individuals and the conversation that they want to have? Ladies and gentlemen, at what point in our lives did we say that conversations should ever not be had? Well, that happened with the rise of equity and diversity and inclusion, which are three buzzwords that mean exactly the opposite of what they say. There is no inclusion in kicking people who have contrary opinions to you off of campus. That's not inclusionary, Ms. Mays. That is the height of exclusion, which would be the hypocrisy that you wear all over your face and with your litany of top hats that you wear to your sessions in government. Equity. There is no equity. You do not want equity. You want extra. You want preferred status. You want things like reparations. You want paybacks. You want to be elevated to a level that is above everybody else, not equal. Because we have equal. People in this country are equal. And there are systems that litigate people who are treated in ways that are wrong. It works through the system. And by the way, diversity involves diversity of opinion, Ms. Mays. Diversity of thought. Diversity of ideology, which last time I checked, is the cornerstone of all systems of higher education. Unless, of course, our colleges and universities are just being groomed to be places where tomorrow's clone troopers are indoctrinated. Where students who've never contributed anything meaningful to the real world can bitch and moan and demand, play the victim card, be outraged, and hide from the real stuff that you and I deal with, like paying our bills and raising responsible children and being good to our spouses. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the crazy train that needs to stop. And as long as we continue to kowtow to crazy people like Latasha Mays and any leftist in education that believes our voices should be silenced because we contradict the prevailing narrative, which we do, because it's crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought not fund nor send our children to any of these schools. They are not deserving of our brethren. They are certainly not deserving of our money. And this madness has got to stop. I got some of the greatest testimonials. I got one. I want to read this to you from Body by AIM 360. I know you guys listen to me from all across America, and you hear what I say, especially when people take the time to email. This is great. I've been a patient of Body by AIM 360 for about 3 months now, and it sounds so cheesy, Kelsey says, but their practice has literally changed my life. I used to suffer from anxiety and really never liked the idea of taking medication to temporarily fix it. I wanted to permanently fix it. But whenever I found Body by AIM 360 and their functional medicine approach, I was so excited to get my blood work done and to see exactly what was going on with my body. It turned out that I was in fact reacting negatively to most things I was eating, which caused my gut to not produce serotonin correctly, hence the anxiety I was experiencing. Dr. Dubiak put me on daily vitamins, biweekly immune IVs, and he also has me on the ketobolic diet. It has been 3 weeks since starting his program. I feel so happy and so energized. You really cannot make this stuff up, people. I highly recommend giving them a call. Whatever your issue, weight loss, anxiety, stress, fatigue, pain, depression, 412-227-9255. 412-227-9255. Bodybyaim360.com. It works. All right, quick timeout. When we come back, I want to give you a little bit of this backdrop of what happened in the Trump case and why Alvin Bragg, oh, that pesky 2018 letter from Michael Cohen's attorney that kind of blows up this case against the former president. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. All right, so I think it's important to review, as we all are keenly aware of this alleged case against Donald Trump. The whole thing goes back to, 2016 or something like that. Money paid to silence a porn star who says and has been very clear that she never had sex with Donald Trump. That her allegations against him that involved Michael Avenatti, who's disgusting, who's serving 14 years in prison, by the way, and Michael Cohen was a money-making scheme. And making money, boy, did they, $130,000 of money. But Donald Trump's claim the whole time was, not only did I not have sex with a porn star, I never paid off a porn star. And the left glommed onto this. Oh, please. Yes, you did. Well, the unfortunate details in writing for the left and for Alvin Bragg, the George Soros-funded district attorney of Manhattan, have come to light, my friends. In fact, this is a letter from 2018 from Michael Cohen's own attorney. And in it, this letter claims Donald Trump did not reimburse Michael Cohen for hush money paid to Stormy Daniels. Boy, oh boy, doesn't this sort of ruin everything? What does it say here? Well, this is from McDermott, Will, and Emery. It's a highly confidential document dated 2018, February of 2018, and it says specifically there that Michael Cohen made these payments to Stormy Daniels. Now, why would an attorney lie about that? Why would Alvin Bragg try to conflate this story? Because they're scared as nuts that the movement around Donald Trump is so strong, is so powerful, that Joe Biden is so bad for America, that there's no cheating possible for Joe Biden or anybody else who wants to throw their hat in the ring to compensate for what is coming. Now, this bombshell document obviously is going to cripple the prosecutor's pursuit of criminal charges against Trump. I'm going to bet dollars to donuts here that that's why we haven't had breaking news. President Donald Trump indicted. Why hasn't it happened? Well, Cohen, as you know, the star witness in the case over which Trump reportedly faces imminent arrest for campaign finance violations. This letter blows those allegations out of the water, because in that letter, Cohen's own attorney wrote, quote, Mr. Cohen used his own personal funds, and that, quote, neither the Trump organization nor the Trump campaign reimbursed Mr. Cohen. Well, now, isn't that a kick in the drawers? I don't know about you guys. I am done with lackey losers like Alvin Bragg. Hey, Mr. Bragg, this is your 101st attempt to take down Donald Trump, because we know you had 100 in your pocket before. Can you imagine how effective you might be if you sucked less and did your job more? You know, the job you were reportedly positioned to do. How dare you? How dare you? Do you now see that if they can do this to a former president of the United States, if they can go out and harass and arrest and throw away hundreds of people for peacefully assembling on January 6th, which is their guaranteed and protected right to do so, that they can go out and manufacture evidence, withhold exculpatory evidence that could exonerate them from their lawyers. And now we're hearing that Alvin Bragg withheld evidence that could exonerate Donald Trump as well. What will they do to you? What will they do to you? They want to run you out of school campuses. They want to silence your ability to communicate on social media. They'll come to your house if you believe in the right of the unborn to live. Where does crazy stop? Well, it didn't stop in the United States Senate yesterday. Rand Paul with the takedown of the CEO of Moderna. We have the facts and the sound to prove it. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Before I move on to what Senator Rand Paul did to Stephen Bancel from Moderna, I want to just read you this little blip of this article regarding this Latasha Mays, a Pennsylvania state representative, during an appropriations hearing on university funding, demanded that the University of Pittsburgh disinvite Cabot Phillips, Riley Gaines, and Michael Knowles from upcoming campus events. All three speakers have a history of, quote, targeting transgender students, Mays claimed, especially Knowles, whom she accused of saying that transgender people should be eradicated. Now, see, here's the funny thing when it comes to fuzzy semantics. See, you can't cherry pick exact words, Ms. Mays. And here's the problem. He didn't say that. He said transgenderism. Transgenderism should be eradicated. Now, whether or not you agree with his philosophy, the last time I checked, the First Amendment protects his right to say that. This is the same thing as what happened at UC Davis, where students there were saying Charlie Kirk said that people should be lynched. He never said that. The Sacramento Bee had to come out and say, oh yeah, we kind of had some poetic license with that. Sorry. Stop lying about common sense commentary. There is nothing outrageous whatsoever saying transgenderism is a first world problem. This doesn't happen in places where people are starving. Why? Ask yourself that question. Now ask yourself this question. How much money is enough money for the CEO of Moderna and Pfizer, for Fauci, who made millions of dollars, for everybody else in the federal bureaucracy who breathlessly has been pushing, get vaxxed, get boosted. If you don't get vaxxed and boosted, pack your bags and you lose your job. How much money is enough? Now, I'm a capitalist. I believe people should have unfettered access to the ability to make money in a lawful way. But did you hear what Moderna wants to do to its cost per jab? First of all, COVID's over. All right? We're moving on. But they still want to make more money. They still see this as the big, beautiful, shiny object in the room. Why should the gravy train end? We only made tens of billions of dollars. So they're going to take a COVID shot that takes $3 to make? They charge the government $20 for it. Now they want to charge $130. And the CEO of Moderna is going to say, well, it's much more than just the jab. There's so much more science that goes into it. It's research. It's development. It's magic. And a Senate hearing yesterday, a Senate Health Committee hearing, grilled the CEO of Moderna. I want you to hear a series of audio sound bites from Rand Paul, who is standing up for doing the right thing, the common sense thing. And I'm going to preface this by saying Rand Paul never said don't get the jab. He said we need to be a little bit more serious and reasonable about what we're saying. You can't hide the adverse events. You can't hide the reality that people are suffering serious heart conditions and that the majority of them are young men and the vast majority of them are having these problems after shot number two. Can we get that on the record, Mr. Bancel? Well, he couldn't. And so he drew it out of him. Here's audio soundbite number one, and he drops the hammer.
Is there a higher interest or a higher incidence of myocarditis among adolescent males 16 to 24 after taking your vaccine?
So thank you for the question, Senator. First, let me say we care deeply about safety and we're working closely with the CDC and the FDA to
get... Pretty much a yes or no. Is there a higher incidence of myocarditis among boys 16 to 24 after they take your vaccine?
The data I've seen from the CDC actually shown that there's less myocarditis for people who get the vaccine versus who get COVID infection.
You're saying that for ages 16 to 24 among males who take the COVID vaccine, their risk of myocarditis is less than people who get the disease?
That is my understanding,
sir. That is not true, and I'd like to enter into the record 6 peer-reviewed papers from the Journal of Vaccine, the Annals of Medicine, that say the complete opposite of what you say. I also spoke with your president just last week, and he readily acknowledged in private that, yes, there is an increased risk of myocarditis. The fact that you can't say it in public is quite disturbing.
Boom. Why can't you just say it? Everybody knows it. We've got 6 studies, and there are many more out there. Stop lying. God, we're so tired of being lied to. You lie about inflation. You lie about the border. You lie about the gas. You lie about drilling. You lie about everything. You've lied about the vaccine. You've lied about COVID. You've lied about the money-making scheme. You lied about our everything. Do we need to continue? I guess we do, because in audio soundbite number 2, Rand Paul asks a very pointed personal question. Again, the squirreling, squirming CEO of Moderna can't give an honest answer. And when he tries to answer, sure sounds like he's lying. Go.
Do you think it's scientifically sound to mandate 3 vaccines for adolescent boys?
This is for the public health leaders to decide, Senator.
You've been advocating for it. You've been interviewed, and you've been advocating for boosters. Do you know when the myocarditis is most common among these adolescent boys? After the second dose. When I spoke with your president, he readily acknowledged in private, yeah, that maybe there ought to be a discussion whether we ought to have 1 vaccine versus 2 versus 3. If 90% of the myocarditis comes after the second dose, why don't we have a rational discussion about 1? Marty McCary, a physician from Johns Hopkins, has said exactly the same thing. It's been discussed, and yet we have this ridiculous notion from the CDC.
Totally rigid. It is one-way thinking. It's exactly what's going on college campuses. It's exactly the narrative that's being pushed in society today. There is no negotiation. There is no cooperation. There is no conversation. This is what we're saying. Do it or pack your bags and lose your job. Rand Paul is almost being too negotiable. He's saying, you know what? I'm not saying don't get it. I'm just saying if we know after the second dose, 90% of these myocarditis cases happen, why don't we just say, hey, get 1 shot? I think that's too far. And Australia agrees with me. I've got some breaking news to drop on you regarding that country in just a moment. But then this is where he says, you've got kids, Mr. Bansal. You've got kids. Are your kids vaccinated? Now, I'm going to give you guys who are not watching the live stream on the Wendy Bell Radio app, but who are listening on the radio itself or on the podcast, he starts to get very squirrely. He looks around. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if your children are vaccinated, do you know right now how many times they've been vaccinated? Do you need to think about it? Of course not. You know. Mr. Bansal has to think about it. He shifts his eyes and he kind of twists his, oh, I don't know. And then he drops a whopper. Audio soundbite 3.
So the CDC says, and I'll ask you this question. Let's start it as a question. Your 16-year-old's had COVID. Your 16-year-old gets better and now has recovered from COVID. You vaccinate them and they get myocarditis. Are you going to give them 2 more vaccines? Your child, give them 2 more vaccines?
I'm not a clinician. I will have to discuss.
You have children.
I do.
Have you vaccinated your children?
I have.
How many times?
3 or 4 times.
3 or 4 times.
3 or 4 times. I call BS on that. You mean to tell me that the CEO of Moderna has paid no attention to the safety data, that he's had not a single conversation with anybody out there who's like, something's going on with this. He has no knowledge. And so he would say to his kids, let's go. You must have this again and again and again and again. Really? Come on. Now, Senator Paul is too couth and respectful. I would have been like, BS. That's why I'm not a senator, right? But he continues. So the CDC is the ones pushing this nonsense. Audio soundbite number 4.
We follow.
So the CDC recommends this, and you know, you're obviously someone who's self-interested in the outcome here. But the CDC says that if your 15, 16-year-old gets COVID, recovers, takes a vaccine and gets myocarditis, is hospitalized with elevated heart enzymes, and is very sick, the CDC says as soon as he gets better, vaccinate him again. You know how many American parents think that that's a rational, reasonable thing to do?
Zero. Those of us who are paying attention in Realville, those of us who are living in some kind of blinded reality might have our kids pin-cushioned until eternity. But are you kidding me? Are you absolutely kidding me? How do you defend that? Well, I'm not a clinician. Really? Well, you have made $4.5 billion off of this. Did you guys know that? That his personal wealth has grown to more than $4 billion since COVID began? Isn't that intriguing? Stop profiting off of our children. Audio soundbite 5.
Do you know how many countries don't do this for children? Sweden doesn't offer the vaccine for kids under 12 unless they're at risk for severe disease. And I agree with that. I'm not saying never on any of this. I think it's a very reasonable position to say kids at risk or have some diseases that there may be a reason for vaccinating some children. Finland doesn't recommend it for under 12 months. Norway also. England as well. France, Poland, Germany, Switzerland, and all vaccinate 12 and up. So we got half the world who have looked at these studies. There's a study in Israel of thousands of patients, and yet you sit here and act as if you've never heard of myocarditis, and you don't think it's an increased risk for young adolescent males, when all of the studies who isolate out people by age have found that, yes, there's an increased risk after taking your vaccine. Pfizer, too, but worse with Moderna.
There's an increased risk, Senator. I was comparing it to somebody who gets COVID.
Well, that's also not true either. But there's an increased risk of getting it. But even when they compare it to the disease, there are many papers out there that do show that there's more of a risk of myocarditis after vaccination. So you have to weigh the risk and balances. And you are right, you're going to make less money because you're going to try, and they're already trying. The CDC's got it on their schedule. They're going to try to force all the kids in America to do this through school. But guess what? Parents aren't going to do it. They've seen that COVID is not deadly in children. And you're right, it's become less deadly over time. Your market's going down. So you aren't going to make as much money. I'm all for you making money in an honest way, but I don't like the idea that the people making the decisions in government are also receiving money and are now conflicted in their interest.
100% factual. I want more, though. I'm hungry for more. Why not drop the death data from the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System? Why not do that? Sir, are you familiar with the 1,223 people we know who died, at least during phase one of the Pfizer trial? How many died during yours? You'll have to talk to the... Really? Enough is enough. Stop trying to profit off of our children and stop trying to put a gun to our heads. We've moved on. We are not your gravy train anymore. The government needs to stop funding madness, stop lining its own pockets, and stop rewarding people who are dark and dirty, namely Dr. Fauci. Seeing the light through the darkness is one of the greatest things Dr. Simkevich's patients get to say they do after treatment. You feel like you're on this tunnel by yourself, that there is no light at the end of it. That a traumatic brain injury has left you permanently disabled. And it's one of those injuries that nobody can see. It's not like a broken arm. But you feel it every single day. You know you're not right. But you can be fixed. And it doesn't matter when your injury happened. 20 years ago? 30? Dr. Simkevich can remedy that for you. And he can do it in just a couple days. This is his revolutionary treatment, and it works. He's helped more than 10,000 people. 412-366-3700. He can help you too. SimkevichConcussionInstitute.com. You know, when I think about the dollars and cents of all of this, it didn't come into focus until a gentleman testified right before the CEO of Moderna did. His name is Christopher Morton. He is a law professor, and he dropped some inconvenient truth about the books for the people who made billions. Oh boy, you've got to hear this next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. So there's this guy, he also testified. I was watching C-SPAN yesterday, and his name is Christopher J. Morton. And he doesn't sound terribly exciting until he starts dropping the numbers. And you're like, what? Like, you know, everybody got wicked rich off of this thing, but you have no idea how many people who are deeply entrenched in the decision making in our country, who are deeply involved in government, who mandate things, who want your kids on the vaccine register to be able to go to school, have to prove that they're vaccinated. You want war? You try that. That's where you get war. That's where parents are like, stay the hell out of my life and my children's arms. So this guy dropped some figures. I think you need to hear this because it is like, what? Go.
To justify price increases, Moderna also points to $4.5 billion in R&D commitments this year. But $4.5 billion is easily doable for this company. In 2021 and 22, Moderna made over $20 billion in profits. The company has been so spectacularly successful that many of its executives and early investors became billionaires, including Mr. Bancel. As I speak right now, Mr. Bancel's net worth is reportedly about $4.7 billion, meaning he might be rich enough to fund Moderna's entire 2023 R&D expenditure out of his own pocket. In 2022, Moderna spent $3.3 billion on stock buybacks to enrich Mr. Bancel and other shareholders. That's as much as the company spent on R&D last year. Moderna's price increases are unjustifiable. If we let them happen, we set a terrible policy precedent. Other companies will double down on Moderna's playbook, extract billions in private profits from public science and public money, leave Americans with higher costs, inaccessible technologies, and poorer health.
You know, all these people are still basing this argument in the Senate during this hearing on that anybody still wants a damn vaccine from these clowns. And then Bernie Sanders is trying to negotiate over the prices. Well, would you agree to possibly lowering the price? What are you doing? The real conversation should be on all of the people who've been injured. Where is that actual conversation? How about all the crazy cancers, people who are perfectly normal, and then all of a sudden something's weird. They're like, ow, my stomach kind of hurts. And they go to the doctor and have an MRI. And lo and behold, they've got aggressive stage 4 cancer that's metastasized all over their bodies. This is not hyperbole. This is what people are having happen to them. We're wringing our hands over the prices. What we should be doing is trying these people for killing others. Australia. Finally. Another democracy. Another place that the uniparty, the world power, the global, you know, world elite, liberal elite, sought to destroy from within. Australia has awakened. And you saw the ridiculous things that were going on in Australia. The police were acting as glorified Gestapo. They were tackling people on the street, strong-arming them for not wearing masks. It was crazy town. How is it possible the 180 that Australia has managed to pull off, where yesterday they announced that not only do they not recommend the shot, right? People under the age of 65 shouldn't be getting it. If you're 65 or older, okay. If you're 18 or older and you're sick or you've got a bunch of different comorbidities or problems, talk to your doctor. Might be something you should consider for whatever. But absolutely not otherwise. Where are our leaders? Where is that conversation? Where is that reality? Well, you're not allowed to have it. Why? Well, just ask Dr. John Littell. We showed you the video last month at Sarasota Memorial Hospital. They were having a board meeting. Dr. Littell showed up. He said, you know what? I appreciate all of the fine work my colleagues behind me have done during COVID. It's been a bear. But I have to be honest with you. I guarantee you I've saved at least 3,000 lives during COVID. Because I used ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. They took the guy, they kicked him out, escorted him by police. He had to be escorted off of the campus of the hospital, the property of the hospital, told to not come back. And wait until you hear the next development of this story. They have to protect the narrative that there is nothing else out there to treat COVID, because if they don't, the emergency use authorization and the protection from all sorts of lawsuits evaporates. Wait until you hear what happened to Dr. Littell. What? In America? Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program.